For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Hustle and Pro with Kelly Walker. Join Kelly as she talks sports with players, coaches, organizers, and entrepreneurs from Pee Wee League to Pro. Now here's your host, Kelly Walker.
Today on Hustle and Pro, we're talking rock climbing. We're sitting down with Kyle Klinkscales, who's a pioneer in rock climbing, both as a climber, but also a coach. Welcome, Kyle.
Welcome. Glad to be here.
Let's do some quick hits. Are you ready?
Ready.
Who is your favorite athlete?
LeBron James.
Who's your favorite team?
That one's much harder for me because I'm going to say Real Madrid because that's my son's favorite team, but I would also say the Cowboys too. So I got to go with one or the other.
That's fair. What is your favorite sport to watch?
Golf.
What about your favorite sport to play?
Rock climbing or golf.
What's the farthest distance that you've traveled to play a sport or to watch a sport?
Well, I was the head coach for the U.S. national team when we went to Noumea, and we've been to Australia and Japan. So those are pretty far but that was watching, or I wasn't actually participating in the event as an athlete, but I was there as a coach.
It's pretty far. So what age do kids, or can kids, start climbing, and what gear would a parent need if someone's just going to jump in and let them try? Can they walk in here without any knowledge or gear?
Absolutely. They can. We provide all of that stuff. As far as kids go, it's really up to their fear level. My son is 9 years old, and he's always afraid. And so he struggles with rock climbing, whereas my daughter is 5 years old, and she can go to the top of the wall. So it's really just what we have, easy enough routes for anyone to rock climb. You don't need any experience. You can just come in. We teach you how to do everything and, you know, turn you loose and let you go. So it's really kind of up to them. But I would say five and up is kind of the, the ballpark.
How did you start climbing? How did you then turn that into a career that is your life now?
First rock climbing experience I had, I was in Colorado, I was in Lake City, Colorado with my best friend, and he said, let's go rock climbing. And I said, what's that? And so he was like, okay, let's go. So we went to the hardware store and we bought 7 mil hemp rope, which is like, it's teeny tiny rope, has a working load rate of like 250 pounds. Whereas the ropes that we have here, it's like 2000 pounds. And so we did everything wrong you could possibly do. I mean, to the point of that we wrapped it around ourselves, you know, with no harness, no nothing. And we just tied like overhand knots. And my buddy was on the top of the wall belaying me, hip belaying me. So there wasn't even a belay device. So things not to ever do, kids, don't ever do this, because it was really dumb. And I'm glad that we made it out alive. But it got us, you know, inspired and psyched to go rock climbing. So when we came back, the gym we're sitting in now had just opened, 1992. And so he started and got me into it. And since the time I was a little kid, I always wanted to be a football coach. That was just, you know, I would always watch football. And I used to do little training camps, like in my neighborhood with kids. I would get them to come over and we'd do like football drills, and I would pretend to be coach and all kinds of crazy stuff. So when I started rock climbing, I was dating a girl that was rock climbing with me. And I was always talking about that. I was going to college at the time. And she said, you know, you should be a rock climbing coach. And I was like, I should be a rock climbing coach. And it started from there. And I just went up to a kid and I said, hey, you should let me coach you. And that kid's now partner in my business for the gyms that we own. And it just kind of went from there. And to my knowledge, I'm the first professional climbing coach in the country. Meaning that was all I did was, you know, start a climbing team. And then I got involved with USA Climbing and basically built it, you know, started it from there.
As we sit here in your gym, Summit, I want to tell our listeners what to expect. Maybe they have been or haven't been into a climbing gym yet, but give us a little bit of a vocabulary lesson on some of the things that you'll find in here, like what's a top rope versus bouldering walls and speed walls.
So there are three disciplines in rock climbing. One is what they call sport climbing. It's lead climbing or top rope, and it's basically just climbing with a rope. And then there's bouldering, which your walls are about 15 feet tall, and you always land on the ground. Every fall is a ground fall. And that's bouldering. Speed climbing is exactly what it is, but there is a homologated wall.
You're gonna have to tell me what homologated wall
is. It's fixed. So it's just everything is in the exact same measurement going up, and the holds are exactly the same. So everything is in a specific alignment so that it's the same all around the world. So everyone climbs on the exact same speed route.
As opposed to how routes change if
yes.
you're climbing
yep.
what I kind of think of as a regular route, or when you come into a gym like this and you climb up a wall with the help of a harness.
Yep. Right? So the way they have ratings for them, so like if you're walking on a sidewalk, it's a 0.0. If you're going up a hill, it's a 1.0, so forth and so on until you get to 3. And 3 is where what they call scrambling, so you have to put your hands down. 4 is scrambling, but if you fall, there is a potential for, you know, a lot of bodily harm. So if you're climbing in Colorado or whatever, it's kind of hiking, but you'll have to put your hands down. And then 5 is where you get to technical aspect of climbing. It means you need gear to participate in it or to be able to do it, which is a rope, a harness, a belaying device, another person to belay you. And that's where it starts. So then, 5.0 is obviously pretty easy. And then it goes all the way up to, 5.15, which is obviously very, very difficult. So the average person that's moderately athletic can climb, 5.9. And for bouldering, it's a little bit different system, but basically it starts at V0 and then goes all the way up from there. And it's a measurement of how difficult the actual move is. So that way, if I climb V5 here, it should be V5 in another gym across the country, across the world.
So you mentioned U.S. climbing, and then I know that you work with Team Texas, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are those, and are those competitive? Are those rec programs that kids do for fun?
So let's say you bring your kid in here and they're 8 years old and they have a blast. They just have so much fun and you're like, okay, well, what's next? We would have a kids club program. So it's a once a week, just kind of start climbing to see if they like it. If they're interested and they want to keep going, then they would join our Team Summit, which is a 2 day a week class. And they compete in a recreational competition series called the JCCA, the Junior Competitive Climbing Association. And it's in the Dallas area. We do competition, bouldering competitions in the fall, rope competitions in the spring. And we try to get the kids, it's the equivalent of rec soccer. The kids don't have to own their own climbing gear. They come in and they compete. We have pizza and a raffle and we just make it fun. So then if your child is very, very good, then we will invite them to a tryout for Team Texas, which is our nationally competitive team. So we compete all over the country and all over the world in rock climbing competitions, which is now an Olympic sport and will be in the 2020 Olympics, which is very exciting for us because we have, been pushing for that for a long, long time.
Have you seen enough exposure to know, are we going to be good in the Olympics? Are we a front runner? Are we way behind? Where do we sit?
It's funny you say exposure. That used to be the name of this gym. So the U.S., I would say, is behind in certain ways, but also we're ahead. There are obviously more commercial facilities and climbing gyms and coaches in the U.S. than there are any other country, which is good. Having said that, if you live in Dallas, Texas, you're going to probably start your kid, in gymnastics or soccer or baseball and all of those other sports until your child doesn't fit into it. And then you'll try rock climbing, because most people are like, wait, rock climbing is a sport, you know, and they don't see it. There's an athlete that climbs at this gym that I have trained since she was 10 years old. Her name is Claire Burfind, and she is one of the U.S. athletes that has a shot to making it to the Olympics, and she's from here. Because you have to do all three disciplines, it's bouldering, sport, and speed, and so it's just kind of how you compete against everyone else. There's only 20 females and 20 males that are going to the Olympics.
You've lived it yourself and you've seen it as a coach. So what are the positives that you see athletes getting from being a rock climber?
I love to coach rock climbing because it has, the element of golf, in that there is no perfect. You know, you're always competing against the course in golf with climbing. You know, you may send a route, but there's going to be a harder one right next to it. And so it's unending. And so it's this constant challenge of solving the puzzle, as well as the physical performance of it. And obviously I'm a rock climbing coach, so I'll of course make this metaphor, but you know, it's like life, like there's no end, you know, you just keep trying to improve. But the other thing, you know, with rock climbing, especially for kids, is that it builds a lot of confidence in them, because rock climbing is more scary than it is dangerous. The injuries, while they can be severe, are usually from complacency. You know, they didn't do something, they didn't tie their knot or something.
There's injuries in every sport.
Yes.
But the level of fear doing this is just natural, that you're looking up at something that's daunting and it's scary until you've tried it, or even for people that can't get over it. But I would think that confidence that you've just accomplished something that, you know, a few minutes ago you thought was a really scary thing.
Yeah, and it there's a lot of head game in it, in that being able to control your emotions and the fight or flight instinct that, you know, kind of we all have. And then when you are very afraid, obviously your adrenaline is going, your heart is pumping faster, and therefore you're putting in more lactic acid because your body's like, nah, I don't want to do this, you know. And so you have to condition your body to love the pain, is kind of the real thing that we get to teach, you know, kids, is that they want to do this, they're choosing to do this, and just because it's scary doesn't mean it's dangerous.
What's the breakdown, mental versus physical here?
At the elite level, it's a lot physical. But, you know, at mine and your level, it's mostly mental. You know, it's mostly just, can you relax enough? We kind of tell the kids, like holding a bird, you know, you don't want to strangle it, but you also don't want to let it go. And so there's that balance of being able to control your emotions so that you aren't over gripping, but you're holding on enough to be able to stay on the wall.
I like that metaphor.
And the other thing about competition climbing that is so good for the kids is that when you go out there, you're by yourself. It's you and one route, and you have a certain amount of time to try to get as high as you possibly can. And because you don't know how anyone else is doing. Like when you're playing baseball, like if the team's kicking your butt, you know it. And whereas with rock climbing, it's not that way. So you have to really control your emotions competing wise. And you see how, you know, the kids, how their ego affects them and all of that. And you get to build that in them, because again, it's like golf. You could shoot 100 and have the worst day of your life and still win. And climbing is the same way. You don't have to get to the top to win. I mean, obviously that makes it way easier, but and so the kids have to learn how to try to do their best on every single attempt to try to get as far as they can, and believe that that's enough to be able to allow them to compete.
Yeah, I can imagine that calls for a certain maturity level too.
Yes.
To be able to recognize that.
That's a perfect word for it, maturity.
Yeah. So tell me more about your relationship with the U.S. national team. How long have you been, are you the coach of that team?
Not anymore. Okay. So I created the program. I started it in 1999 in Italy by accident. I was the only coach that went over there to with U.S. athletes because they were competing in Italy, and there wasn't such a thing as a U.S. coach or anything along those lines. And so the director for it had a different iteration back then, but basically it was USA Climbing, and they just asked me to go into isolation, which is where you put all the kids go into one place and they come out one at a time, and so that's where they warm up. So we call it isolation. So I went in there to help the kids warm up and all of that stuff. And so I was like, okay, I guess I'm the U.S. team coach, because also you have to, you know, call appeals or whatever with the international body. So I just kind of started it. And then when I came home, I was like, okay, I guess I'm the U.S. team coach. And then I became a board member with USA Climbing. And so then I really started, because I wanted the professionalism of coaching to really grow and develop so people could make a living, you know, being a rock climbing coach. And they used to say I was completely insane, but it now is taking on that, you know, that role. There are 170 climbing teams in the U.S. and, you know, a fair amount of them have professional coaches.
I'm curious, you mentioned wanting to be a football coach when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
Who were your football coach idols?
Well, I used to wake up every single Sunday morning and I would watch Inside the NFL. And I watched it, I mean, religiously. And I would pretend to, like, break down plays. And, I mean, I've probably read every Vince Lombardi book that's ever been written. And, you know, he was my hero as to the way he started and what I kind of, you know, modeled our program, you know, after that sort of discipline and, mm-hmm. and making the team bigger than any individual and all of those things. And then I got into reading basketball books. So I would say my favorite coach is Coach Wooden from UCLA. And I read his book and I said, I want to win 10 national championships just like him. But the team national championship didn't exist. And so I was involved with USA Climbing at the time. And so I was like, I'm going to create the team championship and then I'm going to win it 10 times. And so we created it in 2003. And we have since, because there's three individual disciplines for a team championship, one for bouldering, one for sport, and one for speed. And so we have been very, you know, fortunate with that, and we've won 27 national championships between the three disciplines.
It seems like you took a childhood love of the football coach side and had to build that into a sport that didn't really have a structure for, you know, what it is now. And you made it your own and used your passion for coaching.
I always tell everybody
you fell into.
That I won the lotto of lives. So my life is incredible. And just what I've you know, been allowed to do and gotten to do and the opportunities through rock climbing and coaching in general and being inspired, you know, from sports like football and basketball and baseball and golf and funneling that into rock climbing. It's been pretty awesome.
Well, I definitely challenge listeners to give it a try if you haven't. My kids love it. They do have a sense of conquering, you know, every time they go get to do it in summer camps and different things and birthday parties. It's different. It's a little bit scary, but it's definitely fun, and you get a workout in and you learn something new every time you go and learn something a little about yourself if you didn't know you could do these things. So I do challenge people to go check it out and give it a try.
Yeah, I genuinely believe that, you know, it's a fun entertainment for sure for taking, you know, working off energy for the kids or yourself. But rock climbing as a sport, I truly believe it'll change your life.
Well, thank you for taking the time to sit down with us and give us a little bit of insight into this as a sport, both recreationally and competitively. And we'll be on the lookout for your athletes in the Olympics. Good luck.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you coming out.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.